You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Tim Baker, a successful author and managing director of Winners at Work that helps managers develop productive workplace cultures. Dr. Baker, certainly a privilege to have you with us this morning here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, the pleasure is certainly ours as well. Certainly looking forward to our time here on this episode of Enterprise Radio. So first of all, you say in the new influencing toolkit that it is more important now than ever before for leaders to use influence to get things done. Why has this shift occurred?
Well, the traditional power bases that we're used to, that is with regard to position and status, are breaking down in Western society. So for example, police no longer have the same authority that they once did. Or another example is teachers don't have the same respect that they once did in the classroom. So the position or the hierarchical status of people is disappearing. And therefore, people have got to use new approaches in different ways, particularly those in managerial positions. I mean, managers no longer can rely on their position. So people have got to learn a new way of being able to influence or persuade other people to do or think what they might want to do. But I emphasise that this is done in a very ethical way. In other words, people come to this with a willingness to want to be influenced. So it's not about manipulation or trickery. It's about a willingness to come for the ride. So it's about getting others to change their behaviour or perspective willingly.
You go into detail in your new book, The New Influencing Toolkit, with your unique model of influence that describes four influencing strategies. What are they and how do these work?
Well, essentially, there are four influencing strategies that I've defined. Now, as you point out, they are unique, but people will recognize these when I mention them. I mean, each of these strategies are highly effective in the right circumstances at the right time with the right people. So the four strategies are investigation, calculation, motivation, and collaboration. Now, each of us favours one of those strategies over the others, and probably what that means is that we use that strategy too often when we should, in fact, be using one of the other three. So investigators influence by using well-researched facts, logical arguments, and convincing presentations. A good example of that would be former Vice President of the United States and climate change campaigner Al Gore. He's a classic investigator. He uses charts and graphs and statistics to make his point. So these people are very logical in their approach. Calculators, on the other hand, use subtle pressure to convince us of a certain course of action or direction. In other words, what they do is they highlight the advantages of a particular direction and the disadvantages of not changing direction. So, for example, former Great Britain Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher was a very good example of somebody who people knew where they stood, and she had that capacity to sway people in a particular direction. Motivators, on the other hand, use emotions to sway people. So Martin Luther King is a great example of that in his famous speech, I Have a Dream. I mean, he moved a nation, he moved a generation about equal rights for black Americans. And he did that by appealing to people's emotions. And the final approach is collaboration. And collaborators use emotion again, but slightly differently. What they do is they take people with them on the journey. So people are committed to the course of direction on the basis that they're involved in the decision-making process. A very good example of that is Mother Teresa. I mean, she collaborated with great success in marshalling support for poverty in India and around the world, and people were committed to that cause because of her collaborative influence. So they're the four styles, Eric.
Good stuff. Now, you also talk about the push-pull styles of influence. That's interesting. What are they and how can leaders implement these?
Okay, well, investigators and motivators use a push style of influencing. Now, push, by its very nature, is a more assertive, self-directed approach. And that is, it's clear, coherent, and compelling. And the manager exerts their influence in the area of pushing people in a particular area. Calculators and collaborators, on the other hand, use a pull style of influencing. Now, a pull approach is a more gentle, indirect approach of influencing. It's an influencing style that takes people along for the journey. It involves people in the process of decision-making, and because the pull style takes people with the leader, the approach generally takes longer, but nevertheless it's highly effective. So it really depends, again, on the situation and the circumstances determining which is the right style of influence.
Today we're joined by Dr. Tim Baker, successful author and managing director of Winners at Work, that helps managers develop productive workplace cultures, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Dr. Baker, it is really interesting that you say that some people like to influence using an emotional approach while others use a logical approach. How does this work exactly?
All right. Well, using an emotional approach involves two aspects. One emotional approach is to tap into painting a compelling vision of the future. Now, most great leaders have this ability. People become emotionally committed to this future vision. They're sold on the vision or the direction of the leader and where he or she wants to take them. The other dimension of emotional influence is the capacity to develop an emotional bond between people. So by developing a team, for example, and involving others in the decision-making process, the leader gains a tremendous emotional commitment. So team members feel committed to each other and will often go the extra mile, so to speak. So you see this a lot with successful sporting teams. They're certainly influenced because of the bond that they have between the players.
Lastly, in the new influencing toolkit, you give the reader 63 practical tools to use to improve their influence. Can you give the audience a couple of tools that work really well?
Yes, well, the new influencing toolkit has a diagnostic. So the first thing is you could work out what your predominant influencing strategy is, whether it's investigation, collaboration, motivation, or calculation. And the idea, of course, is to use all four strategies when you're influencing others. Now, great influencers, whilst they might have a preferred style, as I mentioned before, they will be inclined to use all four, depending, again, on the circumstances and the people that they're influencing. So the diagnostic and the model are unique, and the book does have a number of tools, as you mentioned, Eric. Most of the books out there on influencing at one end of the spectrum are perhaps a little bit too salesy, and at the other end, they're a little bit too academic. So mine very much fits in the middle. But nevertheless, the 63 tools in the book are very practical. Let me give you an example. One of them is the after-action review. Now, most military organisations use this, and it's a process at the end of a project to determine what learning has come out of that for future action. It's based on three questions: what went well, what didn't go well, and what will we do differently next time we're faced with similar circumstances. So it's a great way to influence people at the end of a project. Another strategy that's very simple to implement is a team values charter, where the manager might sit down with a new team and simply ask four questions of each member of the team. And that team member then gives the answer so that everybody in the team can actually hear the answer. The first question is, what one value do you believe is the most important for us as a team? Define what that value is. Why is that value important to you? And fourthly, what behaviours would demonstrate that value in this team? So what you've actually effectively created by putting all of that data together is a team values charter. And then people obviously don't argue with their own information, because they put that in there. It becomes a very compelling team values charter, which the leader can use to lead. So there's a couple of good examples from the 63. The book is a great reference guide for leaders to apply some of the tools to improve their leadership context. It's also a wonderful resource for trainers, lecturers and teachers who are teaching in the area of the leadership domain.
Certainly a great resource in all those regards. In conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip that you would like to share with the listeners today?
Well, I think the most important thing, Eric, is that people shouldn't be boxed into one of those four strategies that I've talked about. The critical thing is for people to try all four approaches. And if one approach isn't working, I suggest try Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. Because we've all had the case where the glaze goes in the eyes of the person that we're looking at and trying to influence, and we try harder and harder. But what we need to do is take a step back and try a different approach. And if we do that, we're likely to be far more influential and persuasive.
Really appreciate your expertise on this topic and for taking the time to be with us here today. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Winners at Work Online and how they can be in touch?
Absolutely. If you go to www.winnersatwork.com.au, you can find out a little bit more information about some of these influencing strategies and some of the other books that I've written in the leadership domain.
Well, once again, Dr. Baker, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and look forward to another conversation in the future.
Thank you, Eric.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Tim Baker, successful author and managing director of Winners at Work, that helps managers develop productive workplace cultures. And once again, the website of reference is winnersatwork.com.au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.